Most people get to know Goodwill from the stores. They shop at Goodwill or they drop stuff they no longer need at Goodwill. Southern Oregon Goodwill is fond of talking about the story behind the stores, the programs run, and the people helped by Goodwill. Today's guest knows those stories intimately and in great number. Gail Byrne showed up for her first day of work at Southern Oregon Goodwill and stuck around for a while. 37 years, in fact. She's going to retire at the end of the summer, leaving an organization much larger and more complex than the one she joined nearly four decades ago. We've invited her here to talk about the Goodwill mission and her part in it. Gail Byrne, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So there's really nothing else quite like Goodwill, and it's even hard to categorize. There's a little history lesson to be had here. It's been around for a while.
Well, I won't bore people, but it actually started in 1902 when Dr. Helms, who was a minister in Boston, was dealing with immigrants coming into the country. And he wanted to do something for them, so he decided what he would do. He'd go to the more affluent side of Boston and pick up things people no longer needed and come back and give them to the individuals who were needy. Well, when he did that, they wouldn't take them. They wanted a job. They didn't want charity. They wanted a job. So he set up the first production area in Goodwill, and the people would work and they would be paid and they could buy things that they wanted, and that's where it started. And now it's 165 Goodwills in the United States and 14 overseas, and I think there is about 7 in Canada.
So each Goodwill has the same mission, the same basic mission, but it's adjusted just a bit for each community?
Yes. We all work with individuals to help them get jobs, to break down barriers that they might have. Could be anything from a disability to a medical problem to not having any work history, just helping them get ready to go out and get a job.
And so Southern Oregon Goodwill has not been around that long. I mean, we're talking about back to 1902 with Reverend Edgar James Helms.
1965.
Really, 1965. Okay. And who started it? Do we know?
A group, another kind of a long story. There was nothing for individuals with disabilities. And most of the families who had adults with disabilities had them in their home. There was nothing for them. So a group from Jackson County, Klamath County, and Josephine County got together, and they developed the School of Hope. So they actually had educational activities in the basement, and they heard about Goodwill, and they contacted Goodwill nationally in Washington, D.C., and said that they wanted to become a Goodwill. And so individuals in our national office came out and talked to them and decided that that would be something that should be happening here because we didn't have anything. And when they when the School of Hope, I think, had about $50,000 they had been putting money into it, and they gave $25,000 to Goodwill and $25,000 to what is now Living Opportunity. And that's how we got started.
So what is the affiliation relationship between National Goodwill and the regional Goodwills?
We're an autonomous Goodwill. We make our own decisions on what kinds of services we're going to provide and how we're going to provide them within a certain range. But we pay dues to Goodwill, and Goodwill helps us with marketing. They help us with all sorts of getting grants. They really provide a lot of services for us that we don't have to generate from our own location.
Let's do some basic comparisons on programs and size between Southern Oregon Goodwill when you first walked through the door and where it is today, 37 mm-hmm. years later.
When I walked in the door, I didn't know what a Goodwill was. I just moved back into the area, and I was looking for a job, and my mother worked for the Forest Service, of all things. And she said she'd heard that there was a job in Goodwill. And so I walked in, and Dick Travis was the executive at that time. He was a significant person, and he's the reason that we're still here. He interviewed me, sort of. I was standing by his desk, and he was asking me questions. And it was very small at the time. I think there were 48 clients and even less staff than that.
All right, let's pick up the story on the other side of a break. We have to take one now. Gail Burns, our guest, the president and CEO of Southern Oregon Goodwill, departing after 37 years at the end of the summer. We'll get back to the story about her initial contact with Goodwill 37 years ago, and take your phone calls and emails if you'd like to join us. Back on the Jefferson Exchange with Gail Byrne and you in a minute 15. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking today to Gail Byrne about Southern Oregon Goodwill, where she is the boss and has been connected to the organization for 37 years now, and has announced she is leaving at the end of the summer, retiring after a very, very long time with Southern Oregon Goodwill. We're finding out more about the organization and about Gail, and taking your questions and comments if you'd like to join us. 800-838-3760 around the listening area. Within the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, Gail, we were talking about when you first walked in the door in 1977. Dick Travis was the head of Southern Oregon Goodwill, and rather a small organization, and he kind of interviewed you.
Yeah, the Goodwill actually had just burned down. We had the building in White City had been where Goodwill was, and it had burned down and lost everything, no insurance.
Really?
And he's the one that pulled it up by its bootstraps, so he deserves a lot of kudos for that. I walked in, and I was looking for a part-time job, and he talked to me, and he said, no, I need a full-time person. I said, well, that's fine. And I left, and he called me about 4 hours later and said, you can work part-time if you come in and work full-time for 3 months, because they didn't have a rehabilitation program at that time. So I came back, and I started their rehabilitation program, and 3 years later I was exec, and that's the way the story went.
When I had a chance to read your bio, I see that you have a master's degree in counseling psychology and rehabilitation.
Correct.
From the University of Oregon. Well, the rehabilitation part and Goodwill makes perfect sense
perfect
then.
Sense.
This is the kind of place that you'd gravitate to. When you look back, though, I mean, as the person you were before this long stint of time began with Goodwill, did you think you would ever work for a Goodwill? I didn't know what Goodwill was.
I'd never even been inside of a Goodwill. Mm-hmm. I had no clue what it was. No, nothing. But I needed a job. So I came in the door. And that was the beginning of my 37-year journey.
So the full-time for 3 months, did that ever turn back into part-time?
Never, never, never. It was a very different organization at that time. Dick was trying to get money so that he could build on. Actually, the city of Medford gave him the use of the old shops, the old Medford shops. And he got $25,000 in a lot of individuals who who came in and actually put the building into a usable place, and so we were. He had gone for a grant from the federal government to expand it and actually build the rest of the shop, which would allow us to have more space for more clients and more staff, and we opened that one in 1980, and it's got real small real fast after we opened it. Yeah.
What led to the boom then? I mean, what has been the source of the growth? I mean, it's not just Gail Byrne pushing things. Obviously, it's a sense of need that you're working to fulfill here. So tell us about that.
A long time when I first came on the board and when I first came into Goodwill, and I was on talking with the board, and the board and I decided that we would not. Let me back up. Every Goodwill has a territory assigned to them so that they don't overlap with others. And so we had Jackson, Josephine, Klamath, Douglas, and I think we had Coos and Curry County at the time. But we were only in Jackson and Josephine County at that time. Actually, the original building was in Josephine County. So it took me about a year, 1.5 years, 2 years to figure out what I needed to do and what I was going to do. And during that time, I was still working in the rehabilitation department. And Dick Travis came in, told me he was retiring, and did I want the job? And I said, no, I really like what I'm doing. I really like what I'm doing. Then he started to interview, and I decided I didn't want to train another boss. So I decided to take it. And he just went in and told the board that I was going to be the new exec. And several of the board resigned.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, for a combination of things. One, it had been a really rough time. There had been no place for Goodwill to land. They had been moved through several temporary buildings, and they'd worked hard, and so they were ready to leave. So it was important for me to get a new board, and we did that. And it was before computers, and that was a real difficult time for us because nobody in the organization used computers. They all used pen and ink, and our finance person refused to learn computers, and so I had to get somebody who knew computers, and we did that. And so it just think more technology. We decided about 3 or 4 years later. By that time, we were probably about 2 million. We needed to really use our territories. And like I said, the board decided that we wouldn't go into any territory that didn't request us to come into Pride Services. So the next one was Klamath. Then the next one was Douglas. Trying to think of where we are. Douglas, we now have Lakeview also. We also have Siskiyou County, and I'm in Medford and Jackson County. So
geographically, you got to be one of the larger Goodwills around, I would think.
No, not really. Some Goodwills have the whole state.
Really?
Yeah. The big dog in Oregon is Portland. They have an excellent organization, and they have all the upper, the northern part of Oregon, and they have some of Washington, too. So we've
used the phrase already, the story behind the stores. I know this is something that you used in the last set of annual reports, and it's a good tagline because it lets people know that there's more to Goodwill than just stores. You were saying when you came in, though, people when you tell them you work at Goodwill, they say, which store do you work at?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
And so how do you set them straight? I mean, politely, and just say, no, here's what Goodwill actually does.
I do, but if you're trying to lecture them, they turn off after about 3 minutes. One of the real challenges for us is that the public doesn't know what we do. I mean, we work with about 3,000 clients a year. We help individuals with barriers to employment to overcome some of the barriers that they have and be able to move forward and get into some kind of work, whether it's full-time or part-time. The thing I get most in the community is, you get it for free. Why are you charging for it? Well, that's how we support our programs. The money that we get from our stores goes right into the programs. Our programs we get some monies from the state, but pretty much they're funded through the stores.
That is a fairly common complaint. I've heard it myself.
Yes.
And
oh,
you
yes.
hear it too.
Oh,
it's like,
hear
oh, you
it.
Guys charge for
yeah,
things.
Yeah, and when you try to tell them, sometimes they just click off. And so we tried to get something that would get people's attention and maybe help them understand what it is that we do. And that's actually one of my staff came up with that.
The story behind the stores?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what is the biggest story then? I mean, for the folks that you see, we have more than 3 minutes here, which is a good thing. Nobody gets to click off here. So what's the first thing you tell people then? I mean, the most important thing that goes on for the people behind the stores.
I tell them that basically in a very short period of time, I tell them that our whole purpose is to help people with barriers getting jobs, and that we do that by taking in used clothes, sorting them, putting them in stores, used items, not just clothing. And if they're still listening, I'll tell them about some of the people that we have served and how their life has changed. But it's very difficult to get people to... People think they know what goodwill is because they've been in a store. And so they kind of click off because they already know it. They don't need to hear what the real reason is. So.
But the store is really just a tool, isn't it?
It is, definitely, definitely. And we don't... We're pretty independent financially because of that, and it's been a real challenge, and it continues to be a challenge, but we can do it.
Gail Byrne is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, president and CEO of Southern Oregon Goodwill, leaving after this summer after 37 years with the organization. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk to Gail about the past and the present and perhaps the future as well. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Is Goodwill generally trying to occupy a niche, though, that is not served by relief agencies or some level of government? Or, I mean, is there a gap there that Goodwill is serving?
Yes. There are a lot of organizations in the country who also deal with the same population. We are blessed, I guess, with an opportunity to bring the clients in-house and actually start their march towards learning to enough to go into the business by having them in our organization, and we work one-on-one with a job coach. We time study our clients every 3 months, the disabled clients every 3 months, and once they hit a production production level of 75%, we immediately start trying to get a job for them in the community. Our sole purpose is to get the people in, give them something that they can have on their resume and some skills that they have, and then get them into the community. And usually we'll send a job coach in with them until the person is really ready to be on their own.
So it's not really a sheltered workshop model where they'll stay there. I mean, you want to get them going under your roof and then get them out there into somebody else's roof.
One of the really large problems is that a lot of the clients don't want to go into the community, the disabled clients. They've come into some place that accepts them, that gives them, then they have friends, they make money, and they don't want to move on. And that is a real challenge. We have a real challenge with that.
For you, with your training as a rehabilitation person, though, and I added an S where I shouldn't have, rehabilitation specialist, I mean, how do you work that end of things? How do you convince them that this is what they need to do?
Sometimes you don't. We'll put them in a job. I had one young lady who had been in our shop for a long time, and I said, Susan, it's finally time to go out in the community. You've got to give it a try. So she went to work in the then back room of a pizza parlor in Central Point, where they fixed all of the things that they said it put on the pizzas. And to show us that she really didn't want to work there, she took a gallon of honey and walked into the middle of the production floor and dropped it. So she was gone that day. She was back in, and we're not able to get her out again. She was afraid. Her family was afraid. A lot of families don't want their adult children to go out into the community. They're afraid they'll be used, they'll be abused, that they aren't really able at that point in time to differentiate between people. And there's a lot of that.
And does it seem like the need is growing faster than the ability of Goodwill and other organizations to keep up with it?
Always. Always, yes, always. There's always a need. There's always another group. We've expanded into working with children, not at the children individually, but working to help parents and children reconnect when they've gone into foster homes. We have programs in that. We have programs for single parents. We have programs for just learning programs for people. We've got a lot of, and it's hard to identify exactly what their issues are, but there's a whole different strata of abilities that these people have, and we're just trying to pull them out and get them to understand that they can be something and be in community. Yeah.
Do you end up having a running dialogue with other agencies, other relief groups, places like Living Opportunities in Medford for places where you're trying to make sure you don't step on their toes because they're doing something with the same person already, that sort of thing?
Yeah. Yes, we do. We are in a lot of different organizations in all of our counties. And we meet with DHS and some of the other organizations in every county. So we check in balances. And several years ago, we decided that we'd go through everything that we were doing, and if somebody else can do it better, we decided not to do it anymore. So, for instance, we had a clerical program, and we went to RCC, and we checked theirs out and how easy it was for our folks to get in, and we discontinued that and sent everybody to RCC. And we did that to several programs. We were trying not to duplicate what other people were doing because there's so many needs out there. You don't have to look far to find one that really isn't being helped.
Is that kind of an audit a fairly regular thing at Southern Oregon Goodwill, where you step back and say, okay, what are we doing and what can we not be doing anymore?
Yes, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. That's an ongoing dialogue with us. If someone is at a certain level and we can't work with them, then we'll refer them out to someone who can and make sure that connection happens, and then check back with them, make sure that it's working.
So not just say, go over here,
no,
see you later.
No,
it's like, we'll check up and make sure you got there.
You'll kick them out.
Right.
But the state is putting, is starting to put limits on the amount of time people can be in a program, like 6 months. And then they have to be out in the community, and that's going to be very difficult.
And what's the reason for that?
I don't know. It's a state. they call us, even though we have clients out in our stores and all of that, they say that they don't want the clients to work in our organization. They want them out in the community. That's what they want. They want to input training and then out. And a lot of these folks, that's just not their, a lot of them there are, but a lot of them there aren't too. That's just not their track that they see for themselves.
Is part of this the desire, certainly in the political realm, to make sure that people don't get welfare for too long? I mean, is that part of what drives making sure that people don't?
Well, yes. We worked with a TANF program, and it's for individuals who usually single heads of household who don't have a job and
temporary assistance for needy families.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we were really doing fairly well with them because we were paying them for the work they did at Goodwill, as well as they would get their allotment. And so they'd show up every day. But then the government said the state said that we couldn't pay them anymore. They had to live on their what they got from the state. And then there was no requirement to show up. And so that kind of really put a hole in that program. Some people stayed, but a lot of people didn't. They just didn't come to work.
Have there been other circumstances like that where you had something going and then a new set of rules or regulations came in? And, all the time, huh?
Yes. See, I don't know what the one's going to be tomorrow, but 3 days ago, it changes all the time.
Gail Byrne is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's the president and CEO of Southern Oregon Goodwill. We're talking about the overall mission of Goodwill as it is known across the country and in other places in the world as well. And we'll also find out more about Gail's experiences with Southern Oregon Goodwill in particular. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange when we come back from this break. Back with Gail Byrne and you in a minute 40. final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Gail Byrne, the president and CEO at Southern Oregon Goodwill, based in Medford. She has been with the organization for 37 years and is calling it quits at the end of the summer. It's been a very long ride. It's marked the period of great growth in Southern Oregon Goodwill over the years. It serves many more people in many more areas than it used to. We're talking to Gail about that past and about where things are in the present and where things will go in the future, both at Goodwill and for her personally. Join us on the Exchange with questions or comments, 800-838-3760 around the region, in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. We were just talking about the changing level of things that are required of you, and it's a constant thing, it sounds like.
Oh yes, it is. It is. There's a we're really at not at the mercy, but that we're very much under the auspices of DHS, and they're under the auspices of the state, which is under auspices of the federal government, and they make rules, then they don't look at people, what people really need sometimes. They just make rules. They look, well, this is going to save us a little money if we do it this way. I don't know. But anyway, in terms of our expansion, we went into Klamath Falls in 1990 and opened up at the request of the organization in Klamath Falls. The next one was Roseburg. We were already in Jackson and Josephine. We went into, the most recent one was Lakeview, and the one just before that was Siskiyou counties. And all of them were, we were asked to come in.
Asked because another Goodwill had folded or just wasn't?
No, they just wanted more programs. For instance, in Klamath, there was only one program for individuals with disabilities, SPARK, and they... the county wanted an opportunity for clients to choose where they wanted to go. So that's mainly how it works when we go into another county.
So this has required, obviously, a real mix of skills. I mean, from anybody who works for Goodwill, certainly in the management level, but for you in particular, I can see, because you have to be hard-nosed enough to be able to say, okay, we're going to do this or we're not going to do this, but also soft enough to, in the heart, certainly, to have an appreciation for the needs of the clients.
Oh, yeah. It's all about the needs of the clients. But it doesn't look like that from the outside, but you get inside and start talking to staff. It's all about the clients, but you're also running a business. And we've gone from, I think it was $750,000 was our budget when I went in, and it's $15 million now. And that is, that sounds like an awful lot of money, but oh boy, our costs have gone up exponentially. We've added more programs. We're doing a lot of our programs, we're funding for ourselves. We're not taking any money from the state. We have the job connection, for instance. We set up about 15 computers in Medford. We sent 10 or 15 in each one of our counties, and people can come in for free and use the computers. And we have lists of jobs, and we have some training that goes on there if people need it. We help people get their GEDs so they can put that on their resume. We work with people to get into classes if they want to move on forward. There are some programs that they can do themselves where they can, as they're working, they can get matching funds from the state. It's called the Dream Saver. And so we've had people start businesses, buy transportation so they can go to work, a whole number of things that they've done. So it's sounds like a lot. We're a small Goodwill in the name of, you know, if you go through the country, we're a small Goodwill.
Sure. I mean, well, yeah, I mean, you're serving a fairly rural area, but a lot of that rural area, certainly, as far flung as you are. I'm just staggered at the figure, though, that basically your budget is 20 times what it was when you started.
Yeah, yeah. I'm boggled by it myself.
We have an email here from Ray in Roseburg. He just wants to say God bless you and may your retirement be a blessed one.
Thank you, Ray. I really appreciate that. And I'm sure it will be. I'll miss it. But I'm sure it will be.
Was there any triggering event or any end of budget cycle or some milestone you wanted to reach before you said?
I turned 75.
That'd do it for a lot of people.
Right. No, I was ready.
We have some calls for you, so let's get your headphones on. Let's talk to Jeannie in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Gail Byrne from Southern Oregon Goodwill.
Hi, I love your new ad campaign where the husband or whatever calls his wife and he says, I have some news. She's like, yeah? And he goes, I got the job. I guess all that training paid off. I believe that's a Goodwill commercial.
Oh, that's exciting. That's exciting to hear.
Oh, I love that ad campaign. That's one commercial I don't turn off. And secondly, it's kind of off the wall here. My aunt became an antique doll club president in back east. And she said, she's 100 now. She said,
wow.
I started junking in the 60s. She called it going junking. And she got like $1,000 French Germo doll.
Yes.
And that's what got her started. And I wonder about that. Like, do you ever get a Rembrandt or a Tiffany lamp? And kind of off the wall question.
All right. Thanks for that, Jeannie. Go ahead.
One of the things that we received that was most valuable is we received a book that was full of paintings that were generated by a tribe of Indians in South Dakota, and they had presented it to the Indian agent and given it to him. And over the years, it had been passed around, and it ended up with a woman who lived in Medford. And when she died, all of her things were donated, and we had that book appraised. Long story short, it went for the highest price of any Indian art in the history of that organization. Yeah,
wow.
$385,000 or something like that, because it was all colored by natural elements that they found, in like the reds and the blues and all of that, and it described all of their different sides of the life that they were leading.
Mm. So that's one item, but you know, the fact is that this is it's a world that has changed around you. I mean, the ways that people acquire things and send them back
very
around.
Much so.
Very. I mean, in fact, I'm aware of people who will just pick up stuff that's out for free on Craigslist, turn it around, and sell it to make some money at that. And
yeah.
We've talked, I believe, to the folks at the Lane County Goodwill about people who pick stuff up in the Goodwill stores and then take it to where they're going and sell it at their own store for more.
But that's the name of the game. I mean, people do get. We sort, but we throw out. We recycle. Actually, we're a major recycler. We put in the store the things that would sell in the store. But there are a lot of things that we don't catch, and people buy them, and they are able to sell them for more, and then, hey, that's good. And tell everybody you did that so that more people will come in, for sure. I mean, I don't have a problem with that at all.
What about acquiring stuff in the first place, though, to get stuff to stock the Goodwill stores? I mean, is that becoming
It's getting harder, mm-hmm. harder and harder. There's so much more competition. Salvage has a value, and there are a lot of people who, and there are even people who have their own collection out from their home and then sell it to salvage dealers.
Yeah. All kinds of stuff. Let's take another call. Here's Mark in Redding. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Gail Byrne, President and CEO at Southern Oregon Goodwill.
Yes, thank you. I imagine that people fresh out of the Oregon State Penitentiary System have many barriers to employment, so I'm wondering how often you're able to help them out.
We have a program where we work with ex-offenders. One of the major problems that we have is that the state mandates that we can't have someone who's been in prison and had a felony work around disabled clients. So we have to find a place either after hours or off-site to work with them. But we do work with them, and we've had some really good successes with that.
And so you mentioned 3,000 people a year that you're working with as clients?
That's our goal for this next year, yeah.
Okay. And so which programs then are going to get the largest numbers of people through them then? Of the many you offered, I'm looking at the list here, and it looks like there's about a dozen or more different things you do here.
You know, I have never broken it down in my head. I'm sorry. I should be able to tell you. But we work very hard with every individual that comes in. And we have a bell, actually, that rings when somebody gets a job. And
Mark, did you have another question? I didn't want to cut you off too soon.
Yes. You have a specific as-is store.
Yes, we have one in every county, Jackson, Josephine, Klamath, and Douglas.
As-is in what sense, Mark?
Pardon?
As-is in what sense?
Well, it's just that they come in, the items come in, they look at them, they go, well, this isn't worth dealing with. We'll put it in the as-is store. At least that's the way I understand
yes.
how it works.
Yes, we do. And if we're not able to work with it, we put it in as-is store, and then we sell it for a very low amount of money. And that's one of the ways that we keep things out of the landfill. And the other way is if whatever is left over, we bale it, and we send it on to a processor who will then turn it into something else. So we try very hard not to. We try to have a very small garbage can. Let's put it that way.
I can imagine over the course of any given year, you're going to have a very different outcome from what you expected, planned for, budgeted for, all that sort of thing. I'll get into recessions in just a moment. You've been through several of those, I know. So you have to do a lot of fluctuation, I'm guessing, through any year where, you know, you have a program that, like the Job Council, when it downsized in Medford a couple of years ago, did that require you to do some staffing up in your end to
a little,
accommodate
a
people?
Little, mm-hmm. A little, yes.
Mm-hmm. So then let's talk about the recessions then, because if you became the CEO in 1980, that was just in time to watch the economy take a big dive.
Yes, it was. Luckily, we were very small at that time. But the thing that usually happens in a time like that is that we get more shoppers in our store, and we are able to put fewer and fewer people out into the community because there's so many people who have work histories and have been laid off, and they're looking for jobs now that they wouldn't even have looked at before. And so it's a catch-22. It helps us generate our revenue, but it also is a detriment for us placing disabled people in the community.
And then this most recent, the Great Recession. I mean, you have a very different perspective, I would think, working at Goodwill versus people. You know, the great reports that come over the radio every day, oh, you know, growth was blankety blank in the first quarter. Different story, not growing as much, not seeing as much relief from the economic downturn.
It's changing, yes. I think our biggest year was 12. And people have accommodated that, and they've found other ways to generate monies, or they just don't look, and they don't come in, they don't search with us. I'm sure they do with the employment department and all those things, Craigslist. But yeah, so it's a catch-22. You never can predict it.
Is there a single proudest moment, Gail Byrne, in your time as CEO of Southern Oregon Goodwill?
Oh, there's so many. There is just so many. I don't know that I could. We had one gentleman who had a very low IQ, and we had been trying and trying and trying to get him jobs. And finally, his caseworker took him out to Red Lion, and he got a job, and he came back in. And he was just excited as all get out. I mean, it's anytime you see that happening, that's the good times.
What happens now then? Is there a succession plan in place for the next person who's going to head up Southern Oregon Goodwill?
Yes. In fact, the board, I gave the board 6 months I told them that I would stay for 6 months. And so they have been taking applications. They cut the applications off on the 15th, and they're now going through them and deciding who they're going to call in. Yeah.
All right. Anybody from inside the organization?
One, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess we can't ask for names. You won't tell us, right?
No.
Overall, I mean, is it a sense of pride? I mean, there's obviously going to take some lumps along the way through any job at a place like Goodwill, but is there an overwhelming sense of pride that comes with your departure?
I believe that I've led my life in the way that helps people. I'm really a people helper, and it doesn't always make me a good administrator. But I'm ready to turn it over to somebody else.
And when is your last day?
Well, that's still up in the air. It depends on. I told them that and then they have another 6 months after that, and I would never walk out. I mean, I would stay there until they found someone.
Right, so we've been saying end of the summer, but it could be end of the year.
Mm, well, actually, full time probably September.
September. Okay. Yeah. That'd be the end of that. Gail Byrne on her way out the door as the president and CEO of Southern Oregon Goodwill. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.